हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So now we have the discussion amongst the Kauravas concerning, you know, whether they should make peace with the Pandavas or fight. And so, having Dhritarashtra now seeing that everything will be destroyed, he's thinking we should make peace, but he's not saying they'll give back the kingdom. But Duryodhana gets worried, and so he stands up and says, what are you talking about? You know, Bhishma, we have so many great personalities. They could easily fight. Our army's nearly twice as big. 11's not exactly twice as big as 7. Right? One has 7, one has 11. So, you know, I mean, it is, it's like 1.5. Yeah, I guess 1.5 is nearly 2. And so he speaks with so much pride. And so then he's, you know, just trying to inspire Dhritarashtra that he won't give everything back. So Duryodhana continues. The Duryodhana scowled in anger at the thought of Bhima. He had had the palace artisans make an iron replica of Bhima. Each day the Kaurava would smash the iron statue with his huge mace. Soon he would have the opportunity to smash Bhima himself. As for Arjuna, how can he possibly be victorious when he fights with Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Shalya, Bhurishrava, and Jayadratha simultaneously? Even Drona single-handedly is more than a match for him. Born from the immortal Rishi Bharadraj, no one can even look upon Drona when he is worked up in battle. So the immortal Rishi Bharadraj, so great sage like that, very powerful, but they have to remember is Arjuna was born from Indra. And you know, he'll always leave little details like that out. Then there is Kripa, born from a powerful Rishi. No man or god can slay him. And then there is Karna, whom I consider to be the equal of Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa combined. But that's the problem. He thinks Karna is greater than Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa. Even though we see in the battle, Karna was defeated twice by Arjuna, but not Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa. Right? You know, out of respect, he didn't like that, but he defeated him twice. Even Indra came to him out of fear and begged for his natural armor, right? So he's saying he did that just for his son, not that he was afraid and the hosts of demigods are afraid. So that's the thing, is the demons always interpret things for their own favor. They don't necessarily look at things, what's balanced, what should be done, what not to be done. They know, I want this, I'm going to do this. Not that these are the situation, this is what Shastra says, this is what I should do. And then therefore make a decision based without attachment. No, it's simply just what they're attached to, that's what they do. That Lord of the gods had bestowed an infallible weapon upon Karna, with which he will surely slay Arjuna. Duryodhana continued praising his forces and deriding the Pandavas. Naming all the kings on the Kaurava side, he breathed confidence into his father. There was no possibility the Pandavas could win the war. Dhritarashtra could rest at ease. In conclusion, Duryodhana asked Sanjaya, with 7 Akshauhini divisions, what does Yudhishthira hope to achieve? Does he really think he can overpower us? Sanjaya smiled. Yudhishthira's brothers are all cheerful. I did not detect any fear in them. Arjuna mounted his heavenly chariot as I was leaving and said, I have seen divine omens foretelling our victory. Looking at Arjuna clad in mail and standing on his chariot as lightning sits within a cloud, I saw truth in his words. Right? Arjuna mounted his heavenly chariot, you know. That's the thing, is Dhritarashtra, when he's looking, he's thinking Arjuna, you know, Gandiva bow, how he's fought before, how he's proven he's a greater warrior than you know, Karna and everybody. And Duryodhana just leaves out all those details and you know, deals with his side. Duryodhana laughs sarcastically. "You are always praising the Pandavas, whom we defeated at dice." Ooh. Who's we? It was Shakuni. He's a professional dice man who's got magic dice. Whoopee. If it was Duryodhana had to roll the dice in Yudhishthir, then you would have seen they win one, this one wins one. That wouldn't have gone that way. They would have just played for some time and then stopped. "Tell me about Arjuna's chariot. What sort of horses and banners are attached to it?" Duryodhana heard about Arjuna's divine chariot given to him by Agni. The Gandharva chief, Chitrata, gave Arjuna its steeds. He listened as Sanjay described it. "Arjuna's chariot is of celestial origin and cannot be impeded. It is drawn by white horses that move at the speed of the wind across both earth and sky." It means they can't fly. Right? "Chitrata has granted him a boon that there will always be 100 horses, no matter how many are slain." Like that. So he'll always have 100 horses. You kill however many you want, there'll still be 100 horses. That's the point. It can't be impeded. It can, because the point, it can fly in the sky. So if there's something in the way, it'll fly over. "I can barely describe Arjuna's banner. It was created by Vishwakarma, and it throws up a celestial illusion. It appears to extend for miles in all directions. It is impossible to ascertain of what the banner is made, but it resembles smoke mixed with fire. It has all the colors of Indra's bow." It means Indra's bow means the... It means all the rainbow, everything is there. "The terrible monkey Hanuman sits there, as do other celestial beings of terrifying form." Right, so, you know, Hanuman with his friends. And they have all kinds of wild forms. Hanuman has a universal form. You sometimes see him with five heads and all that, all these different, and the demigods can take all kinds of far out forms. Sanjaya described the other four Pandavas' chariots. When he had finished, Dhritarashtra said, "O Sanjaya, which of the Pandava warriors will contend with which of mine?" Dhritarashtra was born from fire, has reserved Drona as his share. His brother Shikhandi has marked out Bhishma, while the pious Yudhishthir has determined to slay his uncle Shalya. Duryodhana and his 100 brothers will belong to Bhima. Arjuna has named Karna, Ashwatthama, and Jayadratha. Whoever in this world claims to be invincible, Arjuna will also slay. Right? So, you know, specifically Karna, Ashwatthama, and Jayadratha, because Jayadratha also then, you know, it wasn't he before he kidnapped their wife again, and so he'll kill him then. Whoever in this world claims to be invincible, Arjuna will also slay, and anybody else who says, I am the greatest. Abhimanyu will meet all of your grandsons. O king, the deceitful Shakuni belongs to Sahadeva, while Nakula will engage with Shakuni Shans, Uluka, and the hordes of mountain fighters he leads. Because Shakuni, they're from Afghanistan, so then all those mountain warriors, and they're very big, muscular, like you see today, the Afghanis are very big people. So back then they would have been the same kind of big, tough, really tough people. O leader of men, all the rulers and warriors in your army have been assigned to one or other of the Pandavas and their followers. Therefore, do quickly what needs to be done, for the battle will soon begin. So he means, he's already pointed out, they've already decided who's fighting who and who's killing who. Dhritarashtra again became fearful, right? So Duryodhana said all this nice stuff, which then, you know, supported the king and became good and asked a few questions. Okay, then, yeah, let's see what are these guys, then when he hears, then he gets... His mind swung between hope and despair, right? Because despair means he sees things reality. Hope means he's hoping for a miracle. He again spoke, trembling. All my foolish sons who will face Bhima have already ceased to exist. The other kings and rulers will all be slain by the Gandiva bowl, as moths are killed when they enter fire. I see my army routed by the Pandavas, whom I have made into my enemies. Yudhishthir's forces are like a formidable ocean my son desires to cross with his two arms. Indra himself could not withstand such heroes, who are cool and composed in battle and capable of breaking down the Himalayas, right? you know, is saying, you know, all of them together, though, Duryodhana has said, with my club I could defeat the Himalayas. Alas, my wicked son desires to fight them, ignoring my protests. Duryodhana rose to his feet. Both parties are mortals. Why then do you ascribe victory as belonging only to them? Think again about the heroes arrayed on our side. See, not even the gods combined could overpower them. What to speak of the puny Pandavas? Right? So he's also, because there's the one thing that Duryodhana knows that no one else has been told like that. I think maybe he told Karna and Shakuni. But that the Danavas had come to have taken him down to their lower planets and told him that we're going to fight on your behalf. So all these great personalities, they're all going to be empowered by us. And he mentioned which of the ones will empower who and everything. And go. And so in that way, then he's saying, okay, well, the Danavas are here. So that's why he's so confident, oh, they can't beat us. They can't defeat us. But what they also don't know is that the demigods, then their power is on the other side. And then on top of that, then there's actually Krishna's desire. And so then, as we see, is Balaram has already decided not to get involved in the battle because he knows Krishna's already made up his mind, so he's not going to go against Krishna. And he says the puny Pandavas, but yeah, he's foolish. Oh, sire, I do not consider the Pandavas capable of even gazing at our forces, right? Our forces are so powerful, they will be, you know, how you say, so overwhelmed in awe, right? The kings and rulers who wish me well take hold of the Pandavas as deer are held in a trap. They will be vanquished along with all their followers. Dhritarashtra sat shaking his head. An intelligence told him that the Pandavas, aided by Krishna, could not be defeated, but his heart was held by the strong grip of attachment for his sons. His choked voice echoed around the hall. See how my son raves like a maniac, Sanjaya. How will he ever defeat Yudhishthira in battle? Surely Bhishma knows the truth about the Pandavas' strength, since he does not desire to fight with them. Tell us again of their prowess, Sanjaya. Let us be in no doubt of the danger we now face. Because that's also a point that's given in the Niti Shastra, is that, you know, Manu mentions that, is that an intelligent man is someone who knows his strength and knows his foe's strength and doesn't underestimate his foe's strength. If they're that powerful, he doesn't underestimate. So to just to write it, oh, it doesn't matter, that actually makes Duryodhana a fool, you know, because he's not in a strong position. When you respect your enemy for what prowess they have, that gives you a chance. But if you don't, then you'll be surprised. You will not be on guard, and they will defeat you. Among the Pandavas' forces, Drishtadyumna constantly incites them. He says, go, Sanjaya, and tell the Kauravas their annihilation is imminent. Tell them they can only avert this calamity by sending a pure and honest man to Yudhishthira to return his kingdom. Do not let Arjuna release the fire of his anger at the Kurus. He is protected by the gods in heaven and by the Supreme God himself. He cannot be slain. O Kurus, do not even think of fighting with him. Dhritarashtra cried out, covering his face. O Duryodhana, my son, he wailed, turn your mind from war. One half of this wide kingdom is more than enough for you and your ministers. Return to the Pandavas that which is theirs. So this is the first time he's saying, return the kingdom. Right, you know, he's thought about it before, but he's never. And in this time, he was, you know, taking very strongly. He was saying, you know, he had mentioned make peace, but he never said. So now he's come to the point of said, return half the kingdom. Return to the Pandavas that which is theirs, right? Because it's not, with, you know, Duryodhana actually, it's not theirs; it's ours, right? All the Kuru elders see this as the only virtuous path. And you should accept it, my child, apart from you and the small-minded son of Asuta. So even he's calling him at this point Asuta. I do not think there are any here who wish war. Led by Karna, Dushasana, Shakuni, you are traveling the path to destruction. Come to your senses, dear son. Do not be misled. Dhritarashtra's words carried no authority. His plaintive cries were not taken seriously by anyone in the assembly. He had clearly abdicated his power to Duryodhana and would ultimately go along with whatever the prince decided. Right, so he's just saying, you give this up, you should give this up, so therefore I say, you stop. You know, stop thinking like this. But it's just, you know, you should please stop because you are the authority here. Like, that's why the other kings are saying, it doesn't carry any weight. When Dhritarashtra had spoken, Duryodhana stood gazing defiantly around the assembly. He made his decision clear. I do not depend upon any of the warriors assembled on our side. Karna and I alone can perform the sacrifice of war with Yudhishthira as the sacrificial beast. Right? He has a short memory, but what to do? My chariot will be the sacrificial platform, and my weapons the paraphernalia. My shafts will substitute for kusagrass, or my wide fame will be the clarified bugger. We shall perform the sacrifice in honor of the god of death and will come back crowned with a halo of glory. Let the war begin. Either I rule the wide earth after killing the Pandavas, or they will enjoy the kingdom after killing me. So his point is this, I can't tolerate them being here and alive, so I will take the whole kingdom and they'll be dead, or if they kill me, they can have the kingdom. So they want the kingdom, they have to kill me for it. Duryodhana paused in order to add weight to his words. His voice, full of pride and arrogance, reverberated around the assembly hall. I can sacrifice my life, my wealth, my kingdom, my everything, O king, but I can never live in peace with the Pandavas. I will not surrender to them even as much land as can be pierced by the point of a needle. Right, and so needles are famous for being sharp, so how much space that goes into, he won't even give that much. It's not that he'll give five of those, one for each. No, one of them. Not even that much land, you know, they would have to share, you know. So his point is nothing. The hall remained silent after Duryodhana had taken his place on his throne, right? So that's the decision. Bhishma and Vidura glanced at each other. Duryodhana's words did not surprise them. What could they say in reply? Only Dhritarashtra could check his son, and he was not doing that. Despite his pitiful entreaties, he still had given no strong order to return the Pandavas' kingdom, nor was he telling anyone else to restrain Duryodhana. It was clear that destiny had ordained war. You know, he said, it can only be destiny, but he's made his choices, so that's all that's left. So he hasn't given a choice that, no, he says, you should give up this, and then he says this, and then he says, no, we're giving it back. That's the thing. And if he says no, but all does that, then he says no, then you'll be restrained. So Bhishma don't restrain him. You know, because they could put him under house arrest. You know, so he could live in his palace and all that and just not leave until he's calmed down. Dhritarashtra broke the silence. I grieve for all of you, O rulers, who are following this fool to death's abode. I cast off Duryodhana forever. Soon the Pandavas will move among our forces like tigers through a herd of deer. My army will fall like a helpless woman struck down by a wicked man. Beholding the Pandavas approaching like moving mountains, you will remember my words. O sons, if you do not conclude peace now, you will meet with everlasting peace when you are struck by Bhima's mace. Because it's Bhima's going to kill them all. You know, so that's the point. And so basically he cast off because he has to let go of them. Because with Duryodhana's mood, he's already dead. Duryodhana looked at Karna and Dushasana. His old father may be terrified by the thought of battle, but he could hardly wait. Alone or assisted by his Danava-inspired troops, he was ready. Right. So even without the Danavas, he would be ready to fight. But because they were there, that's why he's so, you know, full of arrogance and pride. No other course was possible. Dhritarashtra asked Sanjaya to repeat to him what Krishna said. Sanjaya related Krishna's words, calling for the return of the Pandavas' kingdom. After this, he described another meeting he had had with both Krishna and Arjuna. I was invited to see them in Arjuna's quarters. So that was the official one that he had discussed and what they had all said and the messages they gave. So now he's talking about another meeting. I was invited to see them in Arjuna's quarters, with my mind fixed on sacred things. I entered the innermost apartment in the palace. My head lowered, my hands clasped in prayer. The two great souls, however, put me at my ease. They were seated together on a golden bed, bedecked with precious stones. Krishna's feet rested on Arjuna's lap, and Arjuna's on Krishna's lap. Draupadi and Satyabhama sat nearby like two shining moons. Arjuna pointed to a seat. I touched it with my hand and sat next to it on the floor, right? He pointed to a seat, sit, he just, you know, respected it and then sat on the floor. So he doesn't just disregard it, he respects it. Krishna and Arjuna rose from their place like a couple of massive sal trees. Seeing the two black-complexioned heroes towering above me, I was seized with fear. They were like Indra and Vishnu together. I realized that whoever has them on his side cannot possibly meet defeat. Sanjaya closed his eyes as he recalled the sight. He was silent for some moments, then continued in a subdued voice. After they had reassured me and offered me foods and drink, I placed my clasped hands on my head and told them of your desire for peace. Right? So now what will be Krishna and Arjuna's reply? Then we shall see. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.